Introducing El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is where the truth is our bitch. Where the truth or the rubber hits the road. Something like that.
Yeah, rubber hit the road.
Rubber hit road.
Where the rubber hits the road.
Where the rubber hits the road. Yeah, anyway, welcome to the program. 877-RUBBER-HIT-ROAD. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. Online at philhendryshow.com. Tonight, following the show, we're going to have a Q&A with our backstage pass holders. So if you're a member of our backstage pass, if you're a BSP holder, a BSP handler, a BSP toucher, then please join us after the show on Phil TV and HD, which is streaming right now live into your homes. We'll have a Q&A. You can ask your questions over at the homepage at philhendryshow.com. We also have some background stuff on Napoleon Dynamite, which is going to be debuting this Sunday night at 8:30 on Fox, 8:30 and 9:30 Eastern and Pacific. And I play a whole bunch of guest starring parts in Napoleon Dynamite over the six Dynamite episodes, I should say that, of that great series. So please do check it out. And it'll be following the second NFL game, the Green Bay game. So it's all good, you know. If you're on the East Coast, out here on the West Coast, the game will end, and then there'll be a whole bunch of boring programming. And then, Napoleon Dynamite. We've got R.C. Collins, who is a Military Academy cadet at Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California, joining us in just a moment. The story that has surfaced over the last couple of days has a number of people, quite a few, I guess, many in the press, many within the halls of government. I'm not exactly sure how many are among just rank-and-file people, but the story concerning Marines who were videotaped urinating on the bodies of dead Taliban has caused a flurry of fury. The top commanders, reading here from Fox News, the top commanders of the Marine Corps, U.S. forces in Afghanistan are investigating a video that purports to show U.S. Marines urinating on the bodies of dead Taliban after Defense Secretary Leon Panetta ordered a probe into the behavior he described as utterly deplorable. Panetta said, "I condemn it in the strongest possible terms." He was speaking on Thursday of the actions that were depicted in this video. We showed some of it on Phil TV and HD last night. We'll try and pull that up one more time for you so you can see in general terms what they're talking about. And while American television actually did pixelate or otherwise censor the picture of what was taking place, American TV seemed to be the only ones doing that, because around the world, you could see it quite clearly on a number of other broadcasts, one of which was Russia Today. That's what we were looking at. And these are three dead alleged insurgents laying at the feet of four Marines who are holding sniper rifles. And so the thinking is that these Marines and these Taliban were engaged in some sort of a standoff sniper-wise, and the Marines won that one. Spokesman Jay Carney said that as a legal matter, the White House won't pass judgment until the details are discovered, but that the apparent activity is deplorable and regrettable. In the video, four men in Marine uniforms and combat gear are shown exposing their genitals and urinating on three dead bodies. One of the deceased has a large blood stain on his chest. The person who posted the video included a description that reads, "Scout Sniper Team 4 with three battalions, 2nd Marines, out of Camp Lejeune, peeing on dead Talibans." Great. One of the service members can be heard saying in the recording, "Have a great day, buddy." R.C. Collins is a young man who is at a military academy in Altadena, California, Bradley Military Academy. R.C., I know that you're at a parent open house tonight there, correct?
Yes, sir. We have parents from all four grade levels are here, and they're visiting the school, visiting the academy, and looking at not only our academic and scholastic facilities, but also the training for our military and physical regimen.
And so are you someplace where you can hear me?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, this story, R.C., you're not a Marine. You are in a military academy, which means you're training for what, the Army?
Well, yes, sir. When we graduate from Bradley Military Academy, we are then hopeful of placement at West Point, barring that, some form of officer training, which eventually will be for us to go into the United States Army. Yes, sir.
So it's not the Marine Corps?
That would be an honor to be in the Marines, but my primary, you know, career objective right now is to be an officer in the United States Army. But, you know, it would very much be an honor to be in the Marines.
What do you, okay, so because the reason why I'm asking is because you were quoted, a number of other cadets were quoted about this episode in Afghanistan having to do with Marines. Do you feel qualified to...
Well, yes, sir. I think I can. I mean, we have a great deal of respect for the Marines. We feel, though, that in that particular instance, I don't want to be, I don't want to give away any secrets or anything, but, you know, we feel that the Marines were not very intelligent in that situation, but not really in the sense that you would probably think, you know, that they were... that they were urinating on a Taliban or anything, but I think they should have taken better steps to, to when you're getting payback, as we say in the military, life, you don't want to have a lot of civilians looking in because a lot of times they misunderstand that.
All right, well, so that's what I'm getting at. You don't think what they did was wrong, do you?
Well, I mean, I don't really want to comment on that right now. I don't think that, that really has much to do with it. I'm just saying if you're going to be, if you're taking some time to get a little bit of face time with the enemy there that you have just defeated in battle, I don't think any civilians are really going to understand that. And so where the Marines made their mistake, and we see this a lot when we're talking to our professors at the military academy or when we go on a field trip, we see how they will sometimes forget that there's civilians that are going to see this. And when you let a civilian see something like this, you pretty much have just,
You're pretty lost, huh?
Well, yeah, you might as well just throw in the towel.
Talking to R.C. Collins, who is a military cadet, he's a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, about the video showing four Marines urinating on the Taliban. So, R.C., so I'm clear here. You are a military cadet at a military high school, correct?
Well, yes, sir. This is a college prep. This is a college prep course. It is a high school course. It's a college prep course, but we are in point of fact. This is a basic training for officer corps in the United States Army.
Okay, so you guys are not Marines, but you are. You feel that what the Marines did. You don't want to comment on what they did, but I'm gathering you don't think it was bad.
Well, again, sir, I wouldn't want to comment on that. What I'm saying.
No, I know that you don't want to comment on it, but am I warm?
Well, I think you could probably infer from, my comments how I feel about it. The Marines, where they made their mistake is, letting the civilian, first of all, where they made their mistake was if you're going to video it, and I think it's understandable that they would want to video, the final act of conquest, if you want, on the Taliban, if you're going to do that, you got to really make sure that you don't let no civilians, like I was saying.
What, Chief?
Yeah, I was talking to Chief Jones, who's one of our upperclassmen, and he said, I can't use the language that he used, but basically he said, if you give a civilian access to something like this, you might as well put your blank in a meat grinder. And excuse me.
All right, okay, all right. I understand. We don't have to get all that randy. I understand that you guys speak a certain language there. Our number here, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with R.C. Collins about the Marines that urinated on, allegedly, and I guess I shouldn't even use the word allegedly because you can see it in the video, urinated on these Taliban. R.C., I won't press the point. So what happened here wasn't so much that they did it, What happened here is that they got caught doing it.
Well, I mean, you need to understand, Mr. Henry, that in the field of battle, when you're in a battle, you can't, you know, that's nothing that no civilian's going to be able to understand. Civilians are always ready to start, you know, judging how this went and that went. You shouldn't have done this and you shouldn't have done that. But the fact is, no civilian's going to be able to say that because they don't have the right. But they're going to do it anyway, and they're going to make life pretty miserable for, you know, the very committed and gung-ho, and in some cases really psycho. Like when I go to, I know that when I get to Afghanistan, God willing that I'm able to serve there, I know I'm going to be pretty psycho for my country. And,
well, what does that mean, you're going to be psycho for your country? What does that mean?
Well, it basically means I'm not going to hold back nothing. I'm not going to hold back nothing, and I'm not going to let no Taliban or whoever that we fight, think that they're going to be, beating us and everything. So, but the mistake I think that's made is that a lot of people in the military, like myself, or maybe a lot of Marines, because Marines get a lot of respect from the civilian people, and they deserve it. But when they get all that respect and they get all that love, it means that they're showing off sometimes to show how badass they are. Or excuse my language.
No, that's okay.
But the Marines will show off how badass they are, and the next thing you know, a civilian gets a hold of this. And civilians are good. You know, I mean, we fight for civilians. But from a military standpoint, they're not very trustworthy. And they will mess up your day if you let them to do it.
Civilians will mess up your day, meaning what?
Well, if they get a hold of a videotape like this, like what just happened to these Marines, there's no question a civilian got a hold of it and decided to put some heartbreak on them.
All right, R.C. Collins is with us here. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Hang on the line there, R.C. He's talking about the Taliban video of the Marines urinating. And the problem there, the sin there, the crime there, was not so much that they did it, it's that they got caught. And the big mistake they made was letting a civilian get a hold of the videotape. 877-876-PHIL. I like that comment, too. You know, we fight for civilians, but you can't trust them. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil
Very
Henry
good,
Show.
What?
That's very good.
Yeah, I want to get a drink.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. After the show on Phil TV and HD, we're doing a Q&A with our backstage pass holders. If you want to join us, you have to have a backstage pass. You can watch us on Phil TV and HD right now and on many of our affiliates. We have R.C. Collins on the line with us. R.C. is a military cadet from Bradley Military Academy. Before we take any phone calls, R.C., as we talk about these Marines that were seen or that were photographed urinating on the Taliban dead, you're not a Marine yourself. You're not even in the Army. You're in a military academy. What would you say to someone who might say to you, you don't really know what you're talking about?
Well, that's pretty funny. I think the people are going to say that mostly are civilians because, again, Mr. Henry, civilians are people that, while we are going to fight for them, and I am going to go and I'm going to fight for them in Afghanistan, God willing, if you turn your back on a civilian, there's an old saying in the military, if you turn your back on a civilian, you know, don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining, because they will mess up your day. And I'm not saying that I don't love my country, but look what happened to those Marines because they trusted a civilian.
What makes you so sure a civilian posted that?
Because no Marine is stupid enough to do that, and no Marine would do that to another Marine. And nobody in the military would, unless it's that one guy that, you know, leaked all the WikiLeaks. And that guy, if I can guarantee you, if he was alone with about a half a dozen other GIs, you know, they'd mess up his day. There's no question about it.
All right, R.C. Collins with us here. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Let me go over to a phone call. On the line we have Patrick. Go ahead, Patrick. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi. How are you?
Yes, sir. Good.
Good. I don't see a problem with this, you know, what happened. As far as RJ goes, you know, I appreciate that you want to go and fight in our military, and that's great. But civilians, basically, we support the military. For the most part, we support the military. And I see what you're saying, that, you know, a civilian will turn around and put this on YouTube or whatever. Yeah, that's wrong. But at the same time, I'm saying, as a civilian, let's lay off these guys. Let's lay off these Marines. These Marines are fighting for our country. They're dealing with life-and-death situations. And
exactly.
But at the same time, I don't think that you're too qualified on saying to turn, you know, that we're going to turn our backs on you. You know, that's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, I don't know what you mean by not qualified. I'm in a military academy and going to be in an officer training program. And the Marines that were in Afghanistan,
Marines, you're welcome and everything.
Marines went to Afghanistan, and they're in a sniper team, and they're in a life-and-death battle with the Taliban.
Right.
And then they, you know, I think it's logical probably what they did. I mean, I don't know, but, you know, they done it. And then they come back, and what do you think happens? Some civilian takes it and sticks it on YouTube. And I'm saying the Marines were stupid to let a civilian have it.
Okay.
The Marines were stupid to let a civilian have it. You don't even know if the Marines let a civilian have it. Do you maybe...
Well, I mean, Marines are good, but they're a little too gung-ho, and their brains go down on them.
I think our country is a little gung-ho on war, but that's another story.
Well, we got to be. I mean, look at all the scumbags there are in the world that are killing us. But Marines are a little too gung-ho for my taste.
Well, I don't know what that means, they're a little too gung-ho. You know...
Well, they're gung-ho from the standpoint of not being... Their brains go down on them.
Would you not use that term, please?
What?
That term you just used is a little vulgar.
What?
You don't even know the origin of that term, do you?
No.
That's what I'm worried about. Hey, Patrick, thank you very much, sir. Appreciate
your
comments. 877-876-PHIL. That term is a little...
Well, Mr. Henry, I don't think you know what you're talking about. I'm in the military academy, and... I've talked to Marines, and they say it.
They may very well say it. I don't think they're saying it on the radio. Let me go over to line one here. We've got Jim. Jim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with R.C. Collins. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I just want to say there's no place for political correctness in combat. Now, I'm a former Marine. And
right on.
Gentleman was saying, you know, Marines are stupid. First of all, I'd say, you know, when you're in combat, you know, it's not about being nice to those guys. And in fact... You know, by letting this out, that it's like psychological warfare. It's just one more jab at the enemy.
Well, yeah, but now everybody sees that the enemy sees that all these civilians are getting all, you know, peeing in their pants and getting all weepy about it. And you know why? Because the Marines wasn't smart enough not to keep a civilian's mitts off of it.
Yeah, I disagree with you. I mean, the Marines...
Are you kidding me?
They've been called all kinds of stuff. It's because of the way they fight, the things that they do. And it's just
How come they let that videotape get in the hands of some civilian douchebag?
All right. Let the gentleman talk, please.
I don't know how it got out. And my perspective is it doesn't really matter because there's no place in combat for political correctness. And I really don't care what civilians think. If you're Marine in combat, your mission
is
to win and destroy the enemy. You know, if you can
humiliate
the enemy at the same time, I think you're just doing your job.
Hey, you're going to have some douchebag now following every Marine fire team everywhere they go and make sure they don't go pee on some guy and report it back to the newspapers.
What?
You heard me.
No, what are you talking about?
They're going to have some guy follow them around and make sure they don't pee on people.
If you're talking about
Mr. Henry, that image of those Marines that's going all around the world and now everybody thinks Marines pee on people, and all it's going to do is make life tough for them. Okay? And then they're going to send a guy with them to go, wait a second, are you going to go pee? Yeah. Are you going to pee on a guy, or are you going to...
Oh, hold on for a minute. Thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. World-famous Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins and the Marines that urinated on the Taliban. Who let that video out? Was it a civilian? And can they be trusted, civilians? R.C. Collins says, no. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
And I also said Marines aren't very smart.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We have R.C. Collins from the Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. I think we're going to have on the Commandant this half hour, Commandant Wireman. And R.C., you're talking with us about this video of the Marines that were seen urinating on Taliban. Your comments have been that the Marines didn't really do anything wrong. Your comment is that they were dumb enough to get caught.
Well, I mean, Mr. Henry, you know, I don't want to get in no trouble or anything with the Marines or anything, but yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious. You know, it's probably one of the reasons why I wanted to more be in the Army. It's not that I have nothing against Marines. I think they're very brave, and they help, and they've done a lot of stuff, but I don't really want to be, I mean, I'd rather be with guys that are a little, maybe have got a little more upstairs going on than to be peeing on a Taliban. And then your little sister gets all over the tape or whatever. And
just so we know, we don't really know who, excuse me, posted that.
Well, I know. I mean, everybody keeps saying that, but I mean, let's face the facts, okay? Let's you know, straight up. No Marine put that on YouTube, and no Army, unless it's that douchebag that they got in prison. The one guy.
Yeah, Bradley Manning didn't put that on YouTube.
Yeah, so it's a civilian. Don't worry about it. And that's why, you know, when you're in the military, you learn something real fast. Civilians, they'll pee down your back and tell you it's raining, as sure as God made green apples. So you really got to watch your step around a civilian. That's what I think. And, yeah, were the Marines stupid? Yeah, they were. They were stupid. They were stupid when they videoed it, and they were stupid when they come back with it and let their kid sister or whoever it was get a hold of it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. And again, we don't know who got a hold of that or why. We're going to take some phone calls. On the line here with us is R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. Here is Ron. Ron, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a few quick comments, and then I'll take my, you know, your answers off the air. I just think that people hold the Marines to, you know, they got them on too high of a pedestal. I think there's just about anything they can do nowadays, and people would justify it. And I just don't see how these quote-unquote enemies that we're supposed to have, how they're ever supposed to forgive us or ever supposed to see eye-to-eye with us if all we're ever doing is basically, you know, just messing their land up and urinating on them. I mean, I just don't get it.
Well, you got that backwards, man. How are we ever going to forgive them? You know, how are we ever going to forgive them? That's what they ought to be worried about. And, you know, you got to push your headgear out.
They've never really...
You got to... Oh, no, not at all, man. They just let... You ever heard of Osama bin Laden, or have you been playing video games? Are you nuts or something?
How many times
have we been to the Middle East to start wars? That was one time. And I don't even honestly believe that 19 Saudi Arabians means we go to Afghanistan and Iraq. It had nothing to do with it. The majority of the people who...
Hey, I got one for you, man. I got one for you. Listen to this, man. Get a load of this, man. A lot of the people that led the people into the gas chambers in Poland were Polish, not German. So should those people be upset with the Germans? No. Just the Poles, according to you. Dude,
No.
Flush your headgear out, man. Flush your headgear out, man. You need a whole new perspective.
Why don't you quit insulting people? I think what you're saying here, gentlemen... hold on, Ron. I think what Ron's saying is basically this, that the United States is... Are you saying that our response to 9/11 might have been overkill?
Oh, that's bull. That's not even bull. That's a combination of bull crap and baloney. It's bull-aloney.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
And answer for me. God.
Yeah, you're talking over this guy. You're talking all over him.
Can I answer for 1 second, please?
Yes, sir. Of course you can. Go ahead.
I don't necessarily think it was overkill.
It's a combination of bologna.
I just don't think that the way everything so far has played out has been great, because if it has, it would have been done with by now. I just believe that...
Oh, yeah, right. According to your calendar, hey, were you the guy that put that up on YouTube? Because you probably right. would.
Can I ask you a question?
Wouldn't you put it on YouTube?
Since you said that you're in military school and this other guy was a Marine.
Yeah, I'm in a military academy.
You guys both have a negative image of civilians. So if you claim you're protecting civilians, I can see how these conspiracy kooks and how all these people
actually believe. Well, it's because civilians put the videotape up on YouTube. How come a civilian put it on YouTube?
You don't know. You're assuming that.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, right. Are you kidding me? Tell me a civilian did.
People think that martial law will happen and how the military does not care about the civilians and they will take away our rights and they will come out.
I believe you think it.
You guys sound like you're.
I know you think that.
You're supposed to be working for.
I know you believe that there's going to be martial law, but that's only because you haven't upped your meds.
Well, no, right? From your guys' point of view on civilians, the way you talk about civilians is just crazy. When we're your boss.
What do you mean, your guys? I'm the only guy talking about it.
What about your guy there? You were talking to that other kid. He believes the same thing.
That's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't say.
And
not all civilians, just this guy.
Cutting me off real quick. You are a boss. Nobody makes. We're your boss. Nobody makes.
You gotta up your meds
for money. You guys go to the army for your signing bonus and for school. Nobody has to respect you for that. People choose to. If we don't respect you for that, then there's nothing you can do about it. That don't mean that you look at your boss negatively.
Well, all it means is this: if you don't respect me, then I don't trust you, and you probably put that video up there to get them Marines in trouble. And
I probably
and
would
thing,
because I don't have a good image of the Marines or our Army.
I know you don't have a good image. You don't have a good image of authority because you have a father issue.
No.
Oh, well, what are we doing now?
You got an issue with your father. You hate your father.
Would you stop?
An eye leaves everybody blind. Do you know who said that, sir?
Yeah, Martin Luther King, douche.
Exactly.
Hey,
Monday.
Why the name calling?
Because this guy would sell us out and put the YouTube video up, and then he'd probably show a picture of his own mom.
My dad was a Green Beret, and you're going to sit here and tell me all
that's why you hate him. That's why you hate your dad.
What you think of what I think
that's
of my father.
That's why you
I'm
hate your father.
Tell you that being on TV doesn't win you the war, okay? No matter what you think.
That's what you're supposed
Have
to do
good
to
night.
Win the war. What are you, nuts? Are you nuts?
You know something? You were very rude to that guy.
Well, Mr. Henry, I can hear a young man who's got issues with his dad was a Green Beret and he hates the military. Don't take a genius to draw a line. Hey, he hung up. Can you call him back?
No, I'm not calling him back. You were very rude to him. And no matter what the point is that you may have to make, you have to have respect for people when they're talking. I don't want any more butting in.
Well, yes, sir, but I mean that...
No, you know, you may have a million points to make, but I don't want any more butting in. And no more name-calling. Douche, huh?
Well, that guy was basically saying that the military don't need to be respected.
Well, he may say that because that's his opinion, but he's not using any kind of vituperatives.
What?
He's not using any pejoratives.
You know, Mr. Henry, you're talking some kind of it's a gay language.
Whoa, but you know what? What you need is a dictionary, my friend. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to another phone call, and if we have to, yes, we do. This is Anna, or David, rather. David, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, how you doing, Phil? Nice to talk
Good.
To you, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, I think this whole ordeal with all the urinating on the Taliban soldier, I mean, it's bad in itself for people to do that just in general, you know, because I think our morale is a little bit better than that. But, you know, the fact that, you know, we're in a war with people who are trying to kill us and in turn we're obviously trying to kill them too. It's like, you know, when people stake their claim, if you will, and sit there and they're in that situation, you know, maybe it's a morale booster for them or whatever. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but the whole thing when I hear stuff about like this or even Abu Ghraib and stuff and all that stuff that happened, the thing that always runs through my head is that people forget is like these guys take you know, our military personnel, reporters, you know, journalists or whatever, and capture them and saw their heads off on video. And it's kind of
kidding.
We're supposed to be ashamed by the fact that some military guys.
No kidding.
As CJ.
Yeah, no kidding.
And right. Urinate on him. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, what happened to the morale of the country and the fact that we're in war, and these people want to kill us. You know, and again, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, whatever they did. You know, morale for me.
Well, and the other thing that I think, you know, oh, I'm sorry.
They probably shouldn't have done it. You know, and if taking the pictures and stuff, you're setting yourself up to get caught. You know, you shouldn't use that as a trophy. But I don't think
a lot of the military guys. Let me just jump in here for a second. A lot of the military guys, as you know, keep video diaries, whether they're Marines or soldiers, and they send them home. And I suppose when you keep a camera with you, whether it's a cell phone camera.
Mr. Henry, can I just jump in because I know what I'm talking about here?
Yeah, you can jump in when I'm done with my comment. I just wanted to say to David, yeah, you're right, David, I agree with you. You know, allowing yourself to be videotaped doing that. But it becomes so automatic, I think, for a lot of the guys because they have the cameras. They're keeping these video diaries. What did you want to say, RC?
Well, I mean, I wanted to say that when the gentleman was talking about the civilian getting their head sawed off, and he's absolutely right. When we say, see what they done, and we can't take no revenge. Now, I got to say that when you see a civilian get the head sawed off, in a lot of ways, you're sort of going, well, I mean, that's what happens when you're, like, stabbing people in the back. And
what are you talking about, man? You talking about our civilians?
What are you talking about saying stabbing people in the back? I'm talking about these.
Because they're the ones that
these people hold against us.
Well, no, they're the ones that put the Marine videotape on YouTube. That's the guys that put the Marine tape on YouTube was a civilian. So naturally, they're going to get their head sawed.
I'm sorry that some guy put this video on YouTube. First and foremost, I think it's ridiculous, and whoever did it is an idiot. And I'll be the first to agree with you.
He ought to get his head sawed off.
Sounds like to me, you in you know your military academy, you've not even been in the places that these guys have been. You don't even know the mindset of what these guys have been through to be in war with these people who are like trying. They're trying to kill each other. It's war, for God's sakes, you know? And, like, and I don't think the urinating photos as a trophy is a good thing for anybody to keep. You know, the same as the Abu Ghraib thing. I think that was kind of ridiculous, you know? But the fact is, I'm not going to sit there and actually tell these guys, you know, you guys are pieces of crud because of what you did, you know? Your morale and stuff.
Well, can I tell you something?
Booster, sure.
A friend of mine, hold on, Marcy.
And I don't necessarily agree with that. But again, you have to understand what they're dealing with and what they're going through.
Well, a friend of mine, his dad was in the Marines. His grandfather was in the Marines.
People do.
Yeah.
What would they do?
All right, hold on for a minute, will you? David, what do you want to say, RC?
There was a friend of mine who lives across the street. His grandfather was a Marine in the World War II, and he found a picture of his grandfather holding a Japanese guy's head. And I asked him if I could have it.
Yeah, that's very unfortunate that he found that. How old was he?
What are you talking about?
How old were you guys when you saw that?
This anyway?
Well, because that's what Marines used to be able to do when... That's what they let Marines do back then, and now they don't.
They don't want Marines. They don't publicize pictures like that. Even in World War II, they didn't do that.
His granddad had a Japanese guy's head, and it was great.
I know plenty of guys who went to school and who became Marines and are very dedicated people to their country.
Exactly.
And are very upstanding people.
We have to take a break. Thank you, David, for your call. Great call. Thank you, sir. 877-876.
Boy, that guy just kept on going, huh, Mr. Henry?
You won't shut up either. You know, everybody wants to weigh in on this. This is a very, and I want people to weigh in on this, and it's a very passionate topic, and I want my guest to shut his mouth, because my callers have questions and comments of their own. My friend's grandfather was holding a Japanese guy's head. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
He's got some gold fillings that he...
world-famous Bill Henry Show.
You tell people about that, but they'll never understand that.
All right, we're back on. Finish your comments. We're back on Phil Henry Show here, 877-876-PHIL. Finish the last comment you made.
That you're never going to be able to understand people who are going to turn your videotape to YouTube and show everybody you peeing on a Taliban. Big deal. So I took it out and I whizzed on the guy. His people, they're killing everybody too.
Okay, understood. 877-876-PHIL, the Phil Henry Show here. On the line with me is R.C. Collins. We're talking about the Marines who were videotaped who were videotaped in Afghanistan urinating on Taliban. Your feeling that this had to have been leaked by a civilian is based on what?
Well, I mean, no Marine's going to put that on YouTube. You'd have to be some kind of a scumbag, and no Army guy is neither. It has to be a civilian, and it's probably one of these civilians like the one guy that I talked to who's all, yeah, you know, my dad was in the Green Beret, and he didn't love me.
That gentleman didn't say anything like that, and you have to quit being this mocking attitude you have. Now, if you believe that civilians put that on YouTube, why?
Because the civilians, you can't trust them because they're the ones that are calling us war criminals. That's why. And another thing, I wouldn't, if a civilian will tell you when he's peeing down your back, it's raining.
Yeah, I heard that, man. All right. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Anna on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Anna.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
Even have a dog in this fight. The gentleman at the military academy, you've never experienced war. You've never had to support war, basically. I was married to a Marine for 11 years, supported him through his deployments to Iraq and various other countries. And I know what it's like when they come home, and I know how stressed they are, and I know that there's things they don't want to talk about. But at the same time, as a military member, you have to uphold a certain code of conduct. And that does not include urinating on anybody. You've already done the ultimate job by killing the person. That should be enough said. And I personally think...
The only way anybody knows about it is because a civilian put it there.
And you have no evidence to back that up. You have no evidence.
Oh, yeah, right.
Okay, well, let me ask you. Why would they even take a picture of it? Why would they allow themselves to urinate on somebody knowing that they are being photographed?
Because it's something that they're doing to keep and to look at and to laugh at later on when they're with their buddies, civilian take it.
Let me tell you something, okay? Yeah, I have worked in the military very closely for a while, and as a military member, you have to have, like I said, a code of conduct. You also have to lead by example. You are only showing the rest of the world what a liability we are taking on, allowing you to become any part of any military. That is embarrassing.
What?
You're saying...
What are you talking about? I'm going to fight for my country.
That's not fighting for your country when you're saying that it's okay to go out and do what you want to do, but don't get caught doing it. You have to...
What about the...
We are an ambassador for the United States when we go into other countries. We have to be smart enough.
What's that?
Come back and still... I'm sorry, you don't know what an ambassador is?
No, I don't.
You don't know what an ambassador is?
No, sir.
It's... Well, tell them. Go ahead, Anna. You can tell.
Ambassador basically is somebody who represents our country. We represent our reputation. We represent our morals. You have no idea what
I'm saying is, what about the guys that got their heads cut off? Don't you think that somebody should pee? Oh, sure. So a guy got his head cut off and they stuck it on a TV, and that's okay with you?
No, she didn't say that.
You didn't see the American civilians that got their heads cut off by those Al Qaeda guys. You didn't hear about that?
Daniel Pearl? Are you talking about the journalist?
No, I'm talking about like three. They did it to like four guys.
There were a number of these videotapes of guys getting decapitated.
Yeah.
Correct. So you're saying it's okay tit for tat?
Tit for tat is not peeing on a guy. I wouldn't call that tit for tat.
Wow.
Are you crazy? I think getting your head cut off is a little worse.
How old are you? Can I ask how old you are?
Well, no, I just asked you. What do you think about civilians that got their... And they're the ones that probably leaked the video.
Yeah, that's it, man. The ones that got their heads cut off.
Right.
Anna, thank you very much. You've been very patient. I appreciate your call. Our number, 877-876-PHIL.
Mr. Henry, I'd really appreciate if you give me a little more respect on account of to talk to me like I'm not an idiot. Because
well, when you say stuff like the people that get their heads cut off are the civilians that leak videotapes, I don't know what planet you're on. I don't know, you know.
I'm just talking about the civilians that aren't trustworthy and would put the videotape of the guy that peed on the guy on that, well, he peed on a Taliban guy, and they're the ones that put the videotape on the YouTube and are the ones that probably get their heads cut or ought to get, I'm not saying they ought to get their heads cut off. I'm saying we're out defending them, and they're, those are the ones.
Oh, man, you know, what you just said, dude, I'd have to start all over again with you. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. R.C. Collins and as well as Commandant Wireman will be joining us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about the Marines urinating on the Taliban and the videotape of that. And don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com, live streaming video, and after the show, a Q&A on Phil TV and HD.
They peed all over a guy.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, our news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch and where we go anywhere, everywhere, to take you places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. We're online at philhendryshow.com. We have Phil TV and HD rocking right now, and you can look at that with a backstage pass. We'll have a Q&A after our show on Phil TV and HD. Don't forget to watch Napoleon Dynamite on Sunday night, starting first show is at 8:30 on Fox. The second is at 9:30. That's Pacific and Eastern. And I guest star in a number of those. And don't forget to visit our merchandise shop, where you can get your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. You can get all of the coffee mugs and the baseball caps and the T-shirts and the shot glasses and the CDs and the downloads that you want over there at philhendryshow.com in our shop. On the line with me is R.C. Collins from the Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, as we talk about what a lot of people, and I have to say, R.C., I agree with many of the callers, and I probably agree in substance with you, which is that I don't really have a problem with Marines. You know, I am not here to judge what a Marine or an Army guy may do in battle when the pressure is on. As long as he's not abusing a civilian or abusing a prisoner, as long as he's not torturing someone, and quite frankly, I wouldn't want to see our Marines or any of our soldiers desecrating bodies to the extent that they're removing body parts, okay?
And what's the problem with the guy that's going to pee?
What I'm saying is I see a difference. I don't have a problem with a guy who pulls it out and pees on some dude. I don't know, man. But what I am saying and what I am asking, because I've heard you say this a couple of times, is you don't have that problem either, but you are going so far as to say the Marines were somehow stupid, you know?
Well, I mean, Mr. Hendry, you know, with all due respect and everything about a Marine, you know, there's a reason they're called jarheads, and it's not, you know, I don't mean to be disrespectful or nothing, but, you know, they're very gung-ho, and they're very loyal, and they're good, and they'll go in and fight good. You know, but I mean, that's not what I call brain surgery. When you have a guy, yeah, you go, I'm sure they go like, yeah, Joe, get the video camera. I'm going to pee all over this Taliban, and then we'll put it on YouTube. I mean, that's pretty dumb, you know.
Well, I'm sure they didn't say that.
Well, but I'm saying they might as well have if they go back home with it and then they give it to their little sister or something. I don't know what they did. You know,
well, if one of those guys went home with that videotape and gave it to their kid's sister, then I would say there's a lot wrong with that guy more than just, you know, being dumb in giving a videotape to a civilian, you know.
Well, but the point is, one of them gave it to a civilian. I don't think those civilian went, you know, into their rucksack, started looking for it. You go into a Marine's gear looking for something, and you'll pull back a bloody stump.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what's funny about that, sir.
Well, I don't know, just the way you said it. But, all right, so that's fine. But the fact is, you have said that any civilian that posts that, they should have been the ones getting their heads sawed off.
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay, and that's a very gruesome and brutal thing to say. And you've also said that the Marines are basically stupid and that civilians can't be trusted.
Well, I mean, you remember that one guy that called last hour, and he's all upset, and he said, yeah, you know, I would post the video. So he even proved that they shouldn't be trusted.
He was angry at you more than anything else. I don't think, I think he was just angry at you for interrupting him, to be honest with you. And that's what the problem I'm having here is separating out some of the attitude people have with the attitude they have toward you. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Let me get to a lot of our calls have been hanging on for a long time. Here is Lamont. Lamont, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil, how you doing tonight?
Good, sir.
I wanted to make a comment on, at first my initial comment was about the peeing on officers, but it's really becoming more scary how our this military guy, you can barely tell the difference between the civilians and the Taliban, his animosity. I mean, every time he uses the word civilian, there's some kind of admiral adjective in front of it. You know, it's always something derogatory about all civilians. It's just kind of scary anytime you categorize all people for what one does, even if the civilian did do something stupid, which I'm not sure they did. But anytime you categorize all people for the actions of one, I think you got trouble there. And I'm not blaming on
you. I mean, let's face it. You know, civilians—they're always the ones that are—they're always the ones that are dumping on us.
That's what scares me. But you're supposed to be there, fighting for democracy and America. America is civilians.
Right.
This is what you're supposed to be going to battle for, and I don't see why. It seems like you want to go to battle with civilians.
Well,
I mean, look at the whole idea that I think Lamont is saying, RC, is that it doesn't matter what civilians believe. The whole reason for you to go to fight is because civilians get to believe what they want.
Yeah, so I'm going to go to war for some guy that thinks I'm a turd and he wants to put me in prison.
What are you talking about, man? Yeah.
Can I get my next statement, Phil?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. About the Marines, though, I don't think it shows good character at all to pee on anybody for any fight in any conflict. I don't think it shows good character. As far as morally, it's a dead body. I think you got to discern between people. You know, even in a basketball game, you can have 2, 3, 5 calm guys that sit on TV and watch a regular TV show and are nice Americans. But when they go into competition for that basketball game, it's amazing what they do to hype themselves up and to get into what they do. Whatever these Marines had to do to come back alive, I don't care if they thought it was pissing on the body with good luck or whether it was just exuberant, you know, things they did after the conflict happened.
Mm-hmm.
Happy that they came out on top. I think maybe somebody should talk to them about their judgment, but as far as being punished for it or anything, I don't think anything is wrong with that. And as far as being a smart, now what I do have a problem with is kind of what RC says. I don't want to call him stupid, but this is a war on more than one front. And by the pictures of those our soldiers pissing on these bodies, we don't know how that could have interrupted any kind of peace talk. Or do you know what I'm trying? Maybe you can explain it for what I'm trying to say.
Oh, yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. I agree with all of your comments where you said that, no, I don't want to see those guys punished beyond someone standing there and saying, do you guys understand? And when you put that on a videotape, and because I don't think we can judge soldiers in battle. If they were torturing or abusing civilians or torturing or abusing a prisoner, that's a whole other ball game, and we have to take that pretty seriously.
But what about the guys what had the underwear on their head?
The underwear on the head thing, you know, but the point is,
see, I agree with what this guy said, but then he turns around and says, but that they should have thought of it. But that's because that guy's kid sister put it on YouTube.
What guy's kid sister put it on YouTube? That's what we don't know. But anyway, Lamont, thank you very much, sir, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. I don't know whether or not some guy's kid sister put it up there, whether the Marines put it up there, the Army put it up there, somebody. Jeremiah, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
So, yeah, I'm a former Marine.
Yes, sir.
I've been overseas a few times over in Iraq, and so it's kind of hard to explain how we go through and what we
Number
go over
five.
There. And what we, anyways, but how we perceive things, it's a different mentality, and sometimes we have lack of expression about what should be distributed and what shouldn't be, or that it doesn't harm the rest of the soldiers and troops to make the enemy more worse or pissed off at us. But it's just our way of doing things as a victory cigar, you know, when we get done with the conflict or some kind of a firefight. But I just think they should use better discretion of how that video is distributed. And
do you come from America?
What did you ask him?
Office, no.
Does he come from America?
Ambassador for the military in the U.S. No, I think RC should show better professionalism, better bearing, and better respect. Because obviously he's not showing any type of tool that he's learned or gained from the military academy, other than just, you know, cutting people off and insult names. You're really not being very respectful or showing any type of military academy training.
Well, I apologize for that, sir. I respect the Marines. I was just angry at that one kid who's all, yeah, my dad was in the Green Beret, and he's all hateful and everything. I said to him, I wouldn't care if you was one of the people that got their head sawed off.
I heard that. That's outrageous.
Well, that kid was being stupid to me.
But now I was over there, the type of person I was when I was over there was different, because we got to think about stuff and get back home safe and alive, see what you got to do, and we only have a second to think on the action, pull the trigger. So, I mean, some of it would be viewed as a bad thing, some of it may be viewed as a good thing, but we have to make decisions what we need to do to get ourselves back home alive. I understand.
Well, sir, can I ask you a question, sir? Are you from America?
Sure.
Do you come from America? But you got an accent.
What does that mean, he's got an accent?
I'm from Michigan. Anyhow, so the whole thing on the...
Yeah, I'm from America. I come from Chatsworth.
I think, victory token, but as far as videotape and all that, I've done... My unit videotaped a lot of things we've done, but we utilize great discretion of who views it, where to go, and how it's stored. And
hey, what'd you think about my buddy whose granddad had that Japanese guy's head?
Will you shut up, kid? God. Talk.
You're all like,
you should be very more professional. If you come from military academy, you're going to be an officer. You need to show more bearing, more professionalism, and respect any armed forces member. However, there's a lot of videos that I videotaped, that my unit videotaped, but we use great discretion, because no matter what is videotaped over there, the media world will blow it up out of proportion in a negative way.
I didn't understand what he said.
What is wrong with you? You got crap in your ear?
No, he just was going to the thing.
Okay, look. I thank you very much, sir, and thank you for your service, Jeremiah. It's good talking to you, and welcome home. Thank you so much. 877-876-PHIL.
Are you going to welcome me home, you know? And
welcome you home from what, man? You are home.
But what I'm saying is, forget it.
Yeah, that's what you ought to do is forget it. That guy's trying to tell you something. He was over there.
Mr. Henry, I don't mean no disrespect to the United States Marine Corps, but that man was going, I couldn't understand.
The gentleman's got an accent, an upper Midwestern accent. He comes from the border country up there between Canada and the United States. There's a kind of a French, Canadian, British, American thing going on. I don't know.
What are you talking about, a French, Canadian, British? That guy was like,
you know what, man? You sound like a jackass. You sound like you've been castrated, if you want the honest opinion.
I'm 16 years old and my testicles have not yet dropped. That's a bad thing to say.
Well, then quit talking about how people sound. 877, and you know, who needs to know about your testicles, man, whether they dropped or not, okay? 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk about the Marines. And we've heard some great perspective. I don't really have a problem with it. They should have shown discretion in how they videotaped it and how that videotape got out. Is it an absolute, terrible, horrible war crime? No. Will it be called that by a lot of people politically motivated? Yes. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, back with more right after this.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
We are back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. If you visit our webpage, philhenryshow.com, you'll notice the shop. You can go in there and get downloads of our show as well as merchandise. Valentine's Day is coming up. We've got a Bobby Dooley item coming out. What did you want to do, RC? I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. You can hold on for a minute. Mom.
Okay, are you talking to your mom?
Yes, sir. Mom, get the ginger beans.
All right. In any event, go to our website and pick up a backstage pass and watch our live streaming video as well. R.C. Collins joining us from Bradley Military Academy in Alhambra, California, as we talk about the videotape of Marines urinating on the Taliban. Your phone calls are welcome. And your phone calls are welcome here at 877-876-PHIL. Hey, R.C.?
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're all out of time asking your mother for something, all right? We have to get back to phone calls. I want to ask you a question since you have requested this time.
Yes, sir. Mom, the jujubes in your purse. In your purse.
Okay, you ready?
What a dumbass.
Hey, dude, don't call your mother a dumbass on the radio.
I apologize, sir.
Apologize to your mother.
Well, she didn't hear it.
Unreal, dude. What are they teaching you?
Oh, well, I apologize, sir.
That went out all over my radio show. You calling your mother a dumbass.
I apologize, Mr. Henry, to you and to your audience for what I did.
Did your mother hear you?
No, sir.
We're talking here about, you know, that kind of behavior may not seem like such a big thing.
All right, Mr. Henry, I apologize. Can we move on? Jesus.
In about 5 seconds, I'm going to hang this phone up on you. I'm going to get that Commandant Wireman, and we're going to have a three-way conversation. 877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call. On the line with us is Corey. Corey, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Yeah. About this whole video thing and that little 16-year-old kid over there on the other line saying it's all civilians' fault. Well, you don't know Marines, little boy. I'll tell you that right now. All right? Now, if they didn't want this video... No, shut your mouth. Let me speak.
I'm talking to my mom.
I'm going to tell you right now. Being a Marine myself, you don't know what those Taliban guys did to those Marines. You don't know if they were taunting them for weeks on end, shooting little pop shots at them, or maybe hit one of their own guys. I'm going to tell you right now, if me, I would have put that video out there on purpose just to say a big F you to any Taliban out there, any terrorist supporter, and any freaking hippie that doesn't support our fucking troops.
Nice going. You get everybody in trouble, too. Nice going. Those guys are going to have to stand tall before the man.
And you know what? They probably don't even give a crap.
Yeah.
Damn, you got problems.
Hi. Those guys are dumb for letting their kid sister put it on YouTube.
Watch the language, man. Watch the language. You got to watch the language.
You can't be a Marine. No Marine would say a word like that on a radio.
You... Oh, wow. Right.
That is funny.
What's funny about it?
Like
no Marine would say that.
Knows Marine. Like this 16-year-old boy knows Marine.
You're talking about when those Marines came home, they were so dumbass, they let some little sister put the video up.
We heard you already with your theory on the kid's sister.
Dude, I'm telling you, no civilian did it. One of them did it because... they wanted to just say a big F you to the Taliban and to anybody that supports terrorism or don't support them. That's all it was. You think they care? No, they don't care. Especially if they're already out. They don't give a crap.
Are you crazy? What about when they said on the TV that when you do that, you make them, they want to join the Al-Qaeda even more on account of you peed on them?
Huh?
Hey, and that's more people for us to kill.
No, that's a very interesting theory, Ed, and that the Marines or Army or whoever, you guys put those videos up there on purpose to send a message, basically. And I would imagine that the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and those insurgents do the same thing, you know, don't they? They probably put their videos up there.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
They're the ones with all that Iraq writing that nobody understands.
So okay. All I'm saying is that these scout snipers... are the most smartest men I have ever met. I can tell you that right now. If they were stupid, they wouldn't even freaking bother to take pictures. They wouldn't do.
They're going to get in
like
trouble. They're going to get in trouble.
They won't get in trouble. They'll give them some talking to. They're not going to put valuable men like
they're
that
just gonna get a,
in jail.
They're going to get a slap on the wrist. That's about it.
They're going to go to the Navy brig. They'll go to the Navy brig
days,
in Portsmouth.
Geez, they won't go to the brig for.
And get sent right back into their unit.
Yeah.
So.
All right, sir. Thank you very much. Great call, Corey. Appreciate it very much, sir. Thank you. 877-876-PHIL.
Why do you think that was a great call?
Because the man gave us a little insight, and he gave us a little insight into the way the Marines think. And, you know, your theory about that was put on YouTube by somebody's kid sister, he blew that apart.
No, he didn't blow it apart at all. Are you trying to tell me that a Marine snipers is so smart they're going to put a...
He just said they don't give a crap, man. They're not going to get in any trouble. They're not going to get in any trouble. They're going to get a slap on the wrist. They'll do something to them to appease the press and...
probably just to appease a douchebag like Leon Panetta.
And you know something? If you're going to be in the military, you shouldn't be calling the Secretary of Defense a douchebag or the CIA director or whatever he is.
You don't even know what he is.
Shut up. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Leon Panetta.
That's what they call the thing that you hit with a stick and candy comes out of it.
Yeah, that's right.
I just farted.
Would you turn his phone down?
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Don't forget our news and information hour coming up at the top of the hour, at midnight on the West Coast, 3 a.m. on the East Coast. And we are with R.C. Collins from Bradley Military Academy. They just now had the video clip of the Marines in Afghanistan. Secretary of State Clinton has spoken out, saying that it is a... And everybody who has spoken out publicly on this, RC, has said from official quarters, it is a disgrace. It is not conduct becoming a United States Marine. It's not conduct becoming the military code of conduct.
Well, Mr. Hendry, you're not in the military, so I don't know how you can say, you know, all of that about, you know.
I'm just quoting what I heard in the news.
Well, I understand that, sir, but when you say about the conduct code, You're not really in the military to talk about that.
Well, what do you understand of that?
Well, you're not supposed to. You know, you have to conduct yourself according to the uniform code of the uniform conduct code. But to say that the Marines, I stand by what I said. You got to be dumb to let that out on the thing.
What about the Marine we just spoke with who said they probably did it on purpose? They want to send a message to the scumbags that they're fighting. This is who we are. We're a sniper team, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that shows how dumb they is, because now they're going to get in trouble.
Now they're going to get in trouble. Sounds to me like you're like, you know, 12.
Well, Mr. Hendry, that's a heck of a way to talk to someone who's going to be, you know, in the military.
Yeah, okay, but you know what, kid? You're in high school, and you sound like you're talking about getting in trouble with your mom for taking her car. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a phone call here. We got Sam on the line. Sam, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, sir.
The first thing I want to say is that most Americans expect professional, intelligent, military that's out there to do the right thing, have good conduct. RC, I got to tell you, you're an idiot, okay? And I'll tell you that to your face if I did see you. Okay.
You can't call me an idiot. I'm in the military.
You're the 1% or 2% of the boneheads that are in there that need to get out, okay? Nobody wants a military that's weak. mentally, okay? Forget about something, okay?
Watch the language. Watch the language.
I will, Phil. The government doesn't want guys like you in there. They want guys like the Green Berets that went in and killed Osama, okay? Highly intelligent, highly trained.
Green Berets, that was sealed. You don't even know.
Okay, you're a military guy. I'm sorry, you correct
God.
Me. Thank you. The SEALs, the Navy SEALs went in there, did the right thing. They're highly trained, they're professional. No one got hurt other than Osama. And the bottom line is, that's what we want, okay? That's what we want. We don't know what's going to create over the years. There's more hatred towards America. Whether you care or not, I personally don't care. I'll tell you what I want as an American citizen. And you basically insulted the guy like three calls ago saying, where are you from, or something like that. He had an accent.
Well, that guy's all going, I don't understand the guy.
He can be from another country, but he's an American now. He's fighting for our country. He sounded pretty professional to me.
He sounded like he come from Canada.
It doesn't matter where they come from, okay? There's your problem.
If they come from Canada, it does.
We don't want guys like you, okay? The people fighting in the military, the U.S. military, are from all over the globe. Don't you know that? What about your academy?
Are you crazy? You can't have that. It's against the terrorism rules.
What? Didn't you see President Obama was handing out citizenship to members of the military? These people weren't even citizens, and they were in all four branches of the service.
What are you talking about? That's illegal.
No, it's not. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
I got to say, this guy, this guest you have on is a bonehead, okay? He really should get off. Go to mommy, give mommy back the cars, and go home. The bottom line is, no one wants guys like you in the military. And get that through your thick skull. I don't. You don't know my background. I fear no man, okay? I'm beyond the Marine, okay? And with all due respect to the Marines.
So what are you, the Incredible Hulk?
The Navy, these guys are fighting for my freedom and my country, and I love them all. Provided.
Well, you say you're beyond the Marine, but you just said that they're fighting for your freedom.
Hello. Listen, as long as they're professional, have a code of conduct, is strong mentally, and is out there to do the right thing by the country, okay? And let me tell you something else, okay?
You said you're beyond the Marine.
Let me paint a little picture here for you. I am not grasp this one.
What does that make you, Captain America?
Listen to me. Okay.
Okay.
Long term, I'm talking long term, Phil. The bottom line is this. Okay. If we go in, let's say we are attacked tomorrow. Okay.
Hey,
we shouldn't go in and bomb a country. We should highly trained individuals, Navy SEALs, as you corrected me, whatever, highly intelligent individuals, highly trained to go in and wipe the persons responsible out. Those individuals.
And wipe their butts.
Long term, that is going to paint the picture in the enemy's minds, regardless of the country. Iraq, Iran, you name it, South America, who cares? The bottom line is, sooner or later, they're going to get the message. Like, if I do something to the Americans, I better be very careful. These guys are pretty tough. They're not
fighting. They could send you and Batman.
My people. You don't get it. You really don't get it.
You should go in with Batman, Robin.
R.C. Robin.
You said you're beyond a Marine. That must make you Robin.
Whatever.
You know what, R.C., you've been butting in.
Bradley Academy, if they're all like
Bradley Military Academy, I'm very proud of
themselves, and I have no problem saying that. You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay? You need to straighten up and grow up.
Absolutely. Okay? Hold on for a minute. Sam, hold on for just a second, because I want to take this other call. I got Sam, I got R.C. on the line, and we're going to talk to the Commandant here. I don't know whether or not we're going to have much time with Commandant Wireman, who's on the line with us right now. He's at this... It is a parent night there, Commandant, sir?
Yes, it is, Phil. We have a number of the parents that are here.
Well, we have a caller on the line here, Sam. We have R.C. Collins.
Well, the question that I have for Cadet Collins is, I understand that you mocked a member of our military's speech or the way he spoke.
Well, no, sir. He sounded like he might be from another country.
Did it ever occur to you that that man might have been wounded in battle? and that there may be difficult for him to speak. Did that ever occur to you? I'm asking you a question, and I know that you're on the radio show, but I want to give people an example of the of what we expect of our cadets. Did it ever occur to you, cadet, that the man you spoke with might have been wounded in battle and had a difficult time speaking?
No, sir.
It did not. So it showed a poor judgment on your part. It also showed a very poor appraisal ability on your part and your ability to assess a situation, assess an individual. It showed that you have no respect for the United States military, whether it be a Marine, a member of the Army, or any of the other armed forces. You will kiss the gunner's daughter. Okay, Phil.
All right, sir, I don't know what that... RCU, you there? Okay, Sam?
Yeah.
I don't know what is kiss the gunner's daughter.
Well, I'm going to get in trouble.
You're going to get in trouble?
Yeah. And this guy, Sam, did it. You did it. Hey, Sam. Sam.
Yes, I'm here.
You got me in trouble.
You got yourself in trouble. You got yourself in trouble. No one got you in trouble. You got yourself in trouble. The same way the four guys or whatever. I haven't watched CNN today. Whoever peed on the enemy, the same way they're going to get in trouble. And they should.
Kissing the gutter.
Okay, bottom line. All right? The bottom line is no one wants weak,
you
mentally
got me in trouble and everything.
Unstable individuals in the military.
I got to kiss the gunner's daughter.
I don't want
what is kiss the gunner's
my country. And I have no problem saying that, okay?
Lay down on it.
Archie, I don't know how old you are, but you really need to do your homework. All right? You really do.
I've got to do my homework, but I've got to kiss the gunner's daughter first.
Well, what is that?
Kissing the gunner's daughter is simply a form of punishment. It is corporal punishment. It is taken from the very early days of our admiralty when it was legal within the admiralty to lash an individual. Now, obviously, we're not going to lash RC, but we do have him assume a position where... go ahead. Wet the whip. Now, how's that feel, huh? Yeah.
What are you doing?
What do you mean, what am I doing? He's kissing the gunner's daughter.
I don't want to listen to somebody being beaten.
Now, there you go.
I don't want to listen to somebody being beaten, sir.
All right, that's enough. I got to get a drink.
Bastard.
What, you dirty?
Okay. Put that on hold, because
so
that's scaring the hell out of me.
Is this for real, or is this a joke?
I don't know. You know what I had to do? I had to call and find out, because I didn't find it amusing at all, if it's some kind of a joke.
No, I don't find it amusing either. I heard some serious callers. There was a woman calling,
yes,
like maybe an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago. She had
oh, man.
And all he did was disrespect her and talk over her.
Well, he just got, if that's true, he just got somehow whipped with some kind of a bamboo rod. I don't know what that is. Was that just him now,
Bud? I can't believe
yeah.
that. I'm surprised you even believe that.
RC, are you there?
I don't think it's real either.
You don't think it's real either? You agree with the caller?
I do. I think it's a bunch of baloney. And I think it's...
Well, what the hell is going on around here? Thank you very much, sir, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Mr. Collins, is that you?
Yeah.
Were you beaten with a bamboo rod?
No, sir, I wasn't.
Well, then who the hell was doing the voice of that Commandant Wireman?
It was a friend of mine, John Maccabee. He's one of those seniors.
It was a friend of yours, John Maccabee, who's one of the seniors.
Come on, John.
Hello?
Mr. Maccabee?
Yes, sir.
Are you a senior there?
Oh, yes, sir.
Were you the one that was doing that Commandant Wireman voice?
Oh, yes, sir.
Do it for me, please.
You better do it.
This is Commandant Wireman.
Do you understand, guys, that I'm on the radio doing something serious here? And now you guys are pretending like, you know what, RC?
Well, I mean, we were trying to liven it up because that other guy was all...
And you know, I'll worry about livening stuff up.
We just felt like it was dragging.
Yeah, we felt it was dragging and it needed something.
Hang up on these guys before I kick some ass. What are you laughing at?
It's pretty good.
You gotta admit, it's pretty good.
No, it ain't pretty good. It was dragging, and we thought we'd liven it up. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
We didn't mean no disrespect.
Truth is our what? Bitch. The well, Phil Henry Show.
I was gonna do it.
Now get out of here. I hate both of you.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
What you did.
I didn't mean to do anything like that.
I don't give a damn. I don't need for you guys to be the entertainment directors around here. I'll do that. R.C. Collins is on the line with us, and we will conclude here this segment with a discussion of the U.S. Marines in Afghanistan who apparently or appear on videotape apparently urinating on dead Taliban. This is quote-unquote caused outrage. I don't know who it's caused outrage among. I don't know that I've heard from the general public on this. I have heard the stories about the military being outraged, and I think I've heard from the government. The members of the press are, and as news goes these days, it generally starts that way. The press, the government, and the military or whatever agencies involved, and then the public is encouraged to get outraged too. And that's kind of what's happening here.
Well, you agree with me, Mr. Henry, and all of this has been a charade.
No, it's not a charade. I don't like your attitude about how Marines are stupid and somebody's kid sister leaked it out there. And you're making fun of the way a guy talks, and you're talking about how Marines aren't all that great, and you're gung-ho. You don't understand what a lot of tried-and-true and veteran people are talking about here. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Kenny. Excuse me. Hold on, Kenny. I got Mike hanging on here. Mike, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Mike
Hello?
Here? Is this Mike?
It's actually Tommy.
All right. It's Tommy. Okay, I guess I lost Mike. Hang on, Tommy. We'll go over here to, this is Kenny. Go ahead, Kenny. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi, Phil. Long time listener, first time caller. But I take it you're having a hard time.
You're not supposed to say that. You're not supposed to say that because it sounds dumb.
Let me talk to the guy.
Somebody better shut this kid up before I get you off an airplane out to California from Connecticut.
You're not supposed to say long-time caller. That sounds stupid.
With individuals that don't know what they're talking about. Now, one.
Hey, Phil, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Would you shut up, kid?
And have a college, looking to get into a college education to be an officer in the service? Well, I'll tell you what. If I ever did, and you're talking to a Vietnam veteran, kid, so shut up and learn something for a change.
Well, you said something dumb, long-time listener.
Have respect. Have respect.
What?
That's one of your first qualifications in a military academy. Now, listen and learn. You have no idea what this is all about. Nothing. These Marines got caught up in the moment. In the moment. And... Well, I'll be honest with you, Phil. I'm sorry to get hot-headed with this kid because you're not going to get anywhere with a young kid being hot-headed. But this incident, which I had not seen on YouTube, I'm just looking in the New York Daily News and read the article, and this kid doesn't have any clue what war is about. None whatsoever. And this is nothing compared to what happened back in the day before this guy was even daddy's little dream.
You're talking about Vietnam. I know about that.
I mean, it's funny, but I'm expecting to see it in the Esquire coming out soon, in the next, This kid has got me going.
You're nuts. You know something? You're nuts. I'll bet you that's how you fantasize looking at Hillary Clinton squatting.
You pee in your pants before you peed on somebody else if somebody pointed a gun at you. You would pee in your pants. The only thing I know
I wouldn't
to you is if you ever became a military leader, no one would follow you. No one.
At least I'm not fantasizing about Hillary Clinton squatting.
For crying out loud. You don't know what you're talking about. And you'd be better off going back to your mother and hiding behind her skirts before you ever got a rifle in your hand. Don't pick on these damn Marines. You don't know what it's like to be shot at. You have no clue whatsoever.
The Marines should have been more professional about it.
You do one thing. Before you go to your next class in your academy, you take a ride to the nearest VA hospital and see what it's like. Just to see. Don't even talk to them.
What, the parking?
Get up out of their wheelchairs and beat the living crap out of you. Well, I'm sorry. I blow
no, up. No. Don't be sorry about anything. Don't be sorry about anything.
Mr. Henry, you talked about the Secretary of State squatting and doing doo-doo.
He does not
what?
Have the right to say simplify because he did not earn it.
You can't say
you're
that,
not
R.C.
In the Marines. You do not earn the right to say that word. You don't even know what it means.
What? Semperfy? It means, it doesn't matter.
Come
you don't
on,
have
tell
to
me.
Know.
Tell me. You have
it doesn't
mean. Not
you don't have
you
to know. You just say it.
Go back
you don't have to know.
Save yourself, save everybody else, and save your own life. Get out of it because you have no clue. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know. Now, I'm all the way across the country, kid, all the way across the country, giving you one little piece of advice. Do yourself a favor. Get out of it, because you don't know what you're getting yourself into. Thanks,
Bill. You fantasize about... you did. You talked about Hillary Clinton going number two.
Oh, will you shut up? Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate your call very much. Phil Henry Show, RC.
You say thank you very much, sir, to him. You say it to me.
See you later, punk.
You know, one of these...
Get out of here. You and your friend there, whatever his name is, with the Commandant Wireman impression. Go ask your mom for some more Juju Bees. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
That guy wanted to see our Hillary.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
It's the world famous Phil Henry Show. And we're online at philhenryshow.com and Phil TV and HD. We just flashed on the El Pacifico there. And, of course, across the country and our network of affiliates. We're grateful to have all of you, and we welcome you. After the show, we're going to do a Q&A on Phil TV and HD. So if you have a backstage pass, stick around, and you can ask questions on our homepage there on the website. Coming up on Sunday night, the premiere of Napoleon Dynamite on Fox TV, and I'm a guest star in all six of them, I think.
You call you guest star, or you just like just a guest?
I don't know, man. Yeah, you're right. I'm like I'm featured or some jazz on Napoleon Dynamite on Sunday night, 8:30. If you go to IMDb and you look at the cast list, you don't see my name there, and I think that's because I'm a radio guy, and they have no respect for me. No, I don't know why it is. It's an oversight of some kind.
Probably because they get sued by somebody else's agent. So your agent didn't say diddly.
Yeah, you better kick your agent in the ass.
I ain't going to kick anybody in the ass. They'll have my name up there in good time. Don't worry about it. So, Sunday night, and it follows the NFL on Fox. So watch it, 8:30. Two shows, 8:30 and 9:30. Napoleon Dynamite, a great animated series on Fox. Very, very excited about that. Visit our merchandise shop, too, at Phil TV in HD. I was just talking here with Dan and with RC, Bud.
Don't call me RC.
Well, yeah, no, I'm sorry. That RC kid really needs to get bounced around a little bit, I think. You know him, don't you?
Yeah, his dad put him in a military academy, and then because his mom was drinking too much.
Okay, I don't want to know all those stories, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, his dad did.
So his father put him in the military academy?
Yeah, his dad's got a lot of money in San Francisco and everything. And anyway, R.C. works for his dad in the summer.
So he leaves the military academy in the summertime and goes work for his dad?
Yeah, and he wants to be, he says he's psycho and he wants to be, well, he did want to be the guy to kill Bin Laden. When they killed Bin Laden, he went into a spiral of depression.
Yeah, he wanted to kill Bin Laden and said, kid, you ain't going to kill Bin Laden senior in high school. He's all,
do you know him?
No, I've just seen him around here a couple times.
Well, he needs something. I don't know what it is.
Probably he needs to get kicked in the ass.
Yeah, sure. Okay. So we were talking here about the USFL. Anybody remember the USFL? Do you? You guys don't know what I'm talking about, do you?
Well, I know, but like XFL.
Yeah, the XFL had nude women.
The XFL had nude women. What are you talking about? You mean in the end zone?
Yeah, they had like women in the hot tubs.
Oh, that? Well, yeah. Now, I was talking to Dan about that because you talk about a stupid marketing ploy. If you wanted your football league to be adults only, man, all you got to do is tell people adults only. You don't want to be walking into the stadium with like your 10-year-old kid and there's a couple of chicks in a hot tub naked. Not that I got anything against that. I just would rather keep that separate from kids, if you don't mind. If it's not too much trouble. So anyway, those guys went out of business. I ain't talking about them. I'm talking about the USFL. Never heard of them.
No.
The USFL was in the early 80s. And they played in the springtime.
Yeah, that's like NFL Europe.
Well, that's where NFL Europe got the idea. That's where NFL Europe got the idea. The idea originally sprung in the head of a very, very smart guy whose name completely escapes me now. And I think his last name was Dixon. I'll have to look it up. But the thought of having a spring football league came to him while he was watching spring practice at Tulane University, I think. He was watching the Tulane Green Wave, the university football team, going through their spring practice. And he was thinking, boy, I sure am enjoying myself. This is a beautiful day. I'm watching these football players scrimmage. Why do we have to play football in the fall?
Watching football in the springtime seems gay.
Yeah, well, I mean, do people like it?
Well, hold on. Gay? What does that mean?
It just seems gay.
Why? Because it's got to be snowing to play football?
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of the way I like it is to get all muddy and everything.
Yeah, if it's snowing and stuff.
Well, you got to get your head around the fact that you like watching it when the weather's good?
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, the spring, it isn't always nice. I'll never get the very first USFL game I watched on TV. It was snowing. It was in Chicago, and the snow was coming down. It was cold as hell. So right out the window went the notion that you had good weather. But anyway, this was a really good idea. And it was a very good idea that went south very quickly. Now, the early 80s was a time of economic recovery. We had been through a very, very brutal decade, the 70s, ending with a brutal recession, and it welcomed the first years of the Reagan administration. But by the spring of 1983, things were starting to kind of pick up a little bit, and along comes this idea. Now, the thing that these guys did right, and they did a lot, and this is an interesting thing to think of and to talk about if you're talking about business. The thing these guys did right is, number one, they got a TV contract. The first thing they did, everybody did things bass-ackwards up until then. Let's have a football league. Okay, do you have all the teams? Uh-huh. Now let's go hunt up a football contract. No, 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 no.
What do you mean a football contract?
I mean a TV contract. A TV contract. These guys did it the right way. They said, hey, I got an idea. And he talked to a friend of his, Chet Simmons, and this guy, I think that's his name, and he was a executive at NBC. And he said to him, and he was, no, I don't think he was any longer an executive at NBC or was working at ESPN. He said to him, I want to do a football league in the spring. Yeah. What do you think the chances are of getting a football contract for that, of getting a TV contract? He said, well, think about it. There's basketball, there's hockey, neither of which at that time of the year, and the league started in like February, I think, or March. He says, at that time of the year, nobody's watching hockey and nobody's watching basketball. And there's no baseball. The only thing that's on, and that's why ABC carries the Professional Bowlers Association.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Well, I mean, that was ABC had, that was all they had. CBS, I think, had basketball. NHL was maybe NBC, but who cares? And ABC is looking around and going, God almighty, what are we going to do on Sundays? What kind of money are we going to make? What do we got? I know, bowling. And you know, to their credit, ABC did about as much with bowling as you possibly could do with bowling. They got Chris Schenkel out there. And they went, the Professional Bowlers Tour. You know, there wasn't a Sunday afternoon in the spring when I was a kid. You turn on the TV, there's the bowling. So Simmons basically said to him, said, in other words, to answer your question, I think you'd be able, yes, I think there'd be a lot of interest in that kind of programming, because that's what you're talking about. You're talking about programming, and we're living in a similar age now. When it comes to communication and it comes to this sort of thing, we're living in a similar age now. We're saying, I don't give a damn if you got a so-called television show or radio show. It doesn't have to be a radio. You can deliver it any way you want to deliver it now. We've got iPhones, we've got everything. So back then, the guy said, they want programming on Sunday. I got the programming for them. Really? What is it? A football league. In the spring? Yes. Well, guess who bought it?
ABC did, because they had a bowling?
Yes. ABC said, we'll take it. You better believe we'll take it. And they cut a deal. And they said, look, what's the worst thing that can happen? Here's the number that we think we'll get. Here's what we'll charge for the advertising. We'll break even the first year. The second year, it'll be gravy after that. The whole thing was a great idea, except they got greedy.
What do you mean?
What I mean is, they were going to have a little spring league. They were going to hold the salaries, top salary, maybe, I don't know what, in 1983, but the top salary wasn't going to be much. It was probably going to be a couple of hundred, 300 grand a year for the top line salary, which generally you reserve for a quarterback, players like that. They were going to hold the line on the salaries. They were going to have the teams in major markets. They had New York, L.A., Chicago, Washington. They were and they had a team in the Bay Area. They were going to play in the spring when the competition for the sports dollar was, you know, there wasn't any. There was they would have had it all to themselves, that and bowling, you know. And they were going to play, I don't know, I think they played a 16-game season. They played a 16-game season. Maybe they were going to play an 18-game season, one of those things. And in any event, it was ready-made. And they started off, and it was a pretty beautiful thing. They got a decent rating. They had this ready-made television network that wanted to promote the hell out of it. In the first year, when they had their little championship game, the winning quarterback was on Good Morning America the next day. You know
what? That's why nobody even heard about that league.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're the network that's covering the USFL and you want it to be successful, you're going to do everything you can. It's another piece of programming. Just like Napoleon Dynamite's going to have guys on the NFL broadcast on Sunday to promote Napoleon Dynamite, they had this guy on Good Morning America. And they had, you know, and it was a nice, tight, it was a beautiful dollar, as the old timers used to say. You know, it's a very nice dollar. But what did they have to do? They had to get greedy. The next year, why can't we go up against the NFL? Look at all this high-priced talent. We could really make a run for it. And they got a hold of some owners that were greedy. This guy here in L.A., this Oldenburg, I never heard from him since. I don't know who the hell he was then. I haven't heard a peep out of him since. I'm sure he was filthy rich, but, you know, Donald Trump was involved. Although I think Trump might have been a little smarter than this. Nonetheless, they went out and they signed all this high-priced talent, and then the next thing they did is they started playing in the fall, and the whole thing fell apart. So let that be a lesson to you.
What?
You don't know what the lesson is.
Well, I mean, no.
You don't.
Stick to play in the spring.
What, play in the spring? The lesson is this.
No matter what you do, always play football in the spring.
Exactly. Now, that ain't the lesson. The lesson is, when you have a plan, and the plan's working, stay within the parameters of the plan until you need to do some improvisation, until you need to branch out and maybe change a few things, but as long as things are working, stay within the plan, don't ever compromise or sacrifice your vision for what it is you're doing. These guys had a great idea. We're going to have a spring football league. We don't have to make the billions and billions that the NFL is making. We can make millions and millions. We can do it in the spring. We can hold the budget. We can have it. We got a ready-made network. They're going to sell the advertising. We can have a partnership with this network for years and years and years. We might even turn into some kind of a developmental league for the NFL. Who knows? But they destroyed it, man, and it only took them a year and a half. And on top of that, they sued the NFL, like everybody does, for antitrust. They won, but they only won $1.
One? That's insane.
They won $1, and here's what I think the court was saying. Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. The National Football League is, in essence, a monopoly. They're not acting, they're not doing anything to try to destroy the competition. They just happen to have the de facto monopoly in professional football. They're not trying to keep anybody out. You can start up any damn league you want. A lot of people have started up leagues. So you're right. They're a monopoly, but they're not an illegal monopoly. And the damages that you seek are far in excess of what should be allowed here. There's no point in destroying their business because other people have not been good enough to create a business as successful. So the court ruled in favor, and they gave the USFL $1.
That's like an insult.
Yeah, I don't get that.
You want me to explain it again? I'll explain it during a commercial break. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Judge declares Natalie Holloway. What do you think a judge declared Natalie Holloway? Don't answer it, bud. But Natalie Holloway has been declared something by a judge. Mississippi Sisters will push the new governor for a pardon. A pardon from what crime? We'll find out about that. And where is Heather Locklear these days? Well, you may or may not be surprised. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, our news and information hour with
me, Bud Dickman.
And
Truth is our bitch. The Phil nice Hendry going. Show.
Your timing sucks.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, well, you can do, I don't exactly know what you guys are talking about. Welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Yeah, I've got two stories that I've been wanting to get into, and I haven't gotten into them yet.
Yeah, but this was what we saw on the TV.
What you saw on the TV, okay. So what did you guys see on the TV?
Well, basically, they said that cats were not pets for a long time.
No, I know that. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the show. We'll get to the news. Cats were first domesticated some, 10,000 years ago, whatever. But they were not pets.
What do you mean they weren't pets?
Cats were domesticated as purely as animals that you kept to kill the vermin, to kill the rats, to kill the mice, to kill whatever. And it wasn't until around the 17th to the 18th century that cats began to be treated as pets, where you would throw a ball,
Well, what did they do before that?
Before that, the cat was just on the premises, and you threw it a piece of meat, and you gave it milk, and you said, okay, Charlie, go to work, baby. And the cat would go out and kill all the freaking vermin, especially back in the old days when people had mice and rats in the house. And then somewhere along the line, cats started to become a member of the family.
Yeah, but that's probably why cats don't like to be, kissed and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, it could be. I mean, you may have a point there. Cats spent thousands of years just on their own. They were left alone. They killed the damn rats. They killed whatever. And great, here's a snack for you. Thank you very much. You're welcome. Now, we not only have them out there killing all the mice and stuff, now we want to play ball with them and have them, bat the ball around. And they're like, what, are you kidding? I thought I was hired for something else.
All right, well, we got a couple of cat. Now, here's a cat fighting. And it was the cat's fighting with a mouse here.
Yeah.
That's a cow.
The cow, you idiot.
Don't call me an idiot. What if that's a cat?
Does that sound like a cat to you?
I'm sorry. Wait. No, I'm sorry. That's not a cat.
That ain't a cat.
What is it with you guys? Don't you know what a cat sounds like?
You're the guy that picked it out. Give it him.
Hold on for a minute. What do you want?
I want to show you the sound of a cat when a cat is hunting. All right?
When a cat's hunting, what it sounds like?
Yeah, there's a specific kind of way that a cat sounds, and it sounds like... that ain't...
Are you guys trying to be funny or something?
What?
Are you trying to be funny?
What?
Did you hear that?
I ain't hear. What is it? that a door opening?
I'm going to start to kick some ass here in about 5 seconds.
No, I swear to God, man.
That's an elephant, you idiot!
That's what a cat sounds like when it's hunting.
Get out of here before I throw you out.
I don't know.
What does a cat sound like when it's hunting?
Maybe it's this.
Get out of here. No, bud, that's what happens when you start talking.
Oh, Ted, what happens when you talk?
Anyway, so whatever what a cat sounds like when it's hunting, what difference does it make? Anyway, and that other thing you guys were saying, you're wrong. First of all, I don't know, and a lot of you folks, if you have cats, you know that a cat will leave a dead thing on the doorstep. Okay, yes, we know. This has happened many times. If you have a cat, the cat kills something, leaves it on the doorstep.
That's because they want to show that they're doing a job. Or if they're sounding like,
get out of here with the elephant, will you?
I don't know, man. It does sound like a door opening.
It's an elephant. So they're now saying that that's not what a cat is doing when he leaves the dead rat or the dead bird on the doorstep. He is not really saying to you, see, I'm doing my job. What he's doing is he is adding, it's kind of gross, but he's saying, here, I'm contributing this kill to the food supply of the... Now, cats are not pack animals. They're predatory hunters. They buddy up, so they are not in packs so much as they are partners with one other person. A cat in a house has an individual relationship with every person in the house. They don't consider themselves part of a pack so much as they are friends with certain people in the house. Some people they don't want to have anything to do with. But the cat will bring the food and say, this is here, look what I've brought. And I had a cat, man. You were saying, bud, or didn't you?
Yeah, we had a cat, man. He killed birds, killed like a gopher, killed a number of gophers in a very short time period. Killed a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we had a cat like that.
I had a big cat, and this cat would kill birds, mice, you name it. And man, every day this damn cat had something out there. But that's what apparently that's why they do that, because they want to show people that here's what I've added to.
That ain't cat, right?
Does that sound like a cat?
I don't know.
What does a cat sound like, man? It goes meow. It doesn't swing from a vine.
Oh, that's a monkey.
Yeah, that's a monkey. You got rocks in your head or something. In any event, that's what a cat does. Oh, great. So there's another blown segment. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back and give you the sounds of a hunting cat. Oh, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Oh, I wait a second.
Dude, what are you paying it for?
Oh, I just want people to know what a cat sounds like. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. And the news, I promise. News and commentary.
What a cat sound.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
I want to weigh in on something. I couldn't agree more with Andy Levy of Red Eye when he said the difference between Bill Maher and Jon Stewart is that Jon Stewart's funny. And absolutely right. Jon Stewart is funny. I may not be 100% on his side with the political point of view, but when Bill Maher says something outrageous, like he said a few weeks ago, I don't know, we've already forgotten, you know, what it was that Bill Maher said. Levy made a comment to the press. He said, so what? That's his job. His job is to say outrageous things and to get people to pay attention to him. He says, the fact is, Jon Stewart's funnier, and he's right. Now we come to Stephen Colbert. Now, I don't have anything to say other than the following. When Stephen Colbert announces that he is going to be running for president, which I think, like, hasn't he done that a lot of time? You know, he's done that a lot, right?
Yeah, I think he ran for president in 2008.
Okay. And And, you know, Pat Paulson ran for president. I mean, comics run for president. That's Alfred E. Newman ran for president.
Yeah.
So Stephen Colbert announcing that he's running for president, is that supposed to be really funny? Probably, I guess it is, but it ain't. And the second thing is, here's MSNBC, as I sit here, making a big deal. It's breaking news. Stephen Colbert announces he's exploring a presidential run in South Carolina. Now, that's not serious, right?
Ah, the guy's, he's kidding.
So why is this a segment on MSNBC with four talking heads and a breaking news thing with an arrow pointing at the thing? Is he serious?
What do you mean?
Are you guys listening to what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a thing on TV. Stephen Colbert is running for president, South Carolina, and MSNBC's doing a whole thing. Are they doing a complete shtickeroo on MSNBC, too? Is Ed Schultz, is this how he's going to bust out with this kind of shtick? Is everything shtick, or is this guy really running for president?
I don't see how it's possible, man. I think it's got to be a joke.
Okay, it's a joke. So, in other words, Schultz is running a joke.
Yeah, I think he's doing shtick.
Well, what the hell is Ed Schultz doing? You know, I got to tell you something. We've gotten to a point now in this world where serious news talk show hosts, on the one hand, like for instance, Ed Schultz or others that we could name, they're serious, and then all of a sudden they're comedians. And they're not very good either. They ain't even all that funny, you know.
I think it's pretty funny if Ed Schultz going to say Stephen Colbert is running for president.
What's funny about that?
That Stephen Colbert running for president.
That's funny?
Well, yeah, sort of.
That ain't funny. That's like any comic you can think of saying I'm running for president. So what?
I think you got to watch his show to really get the humor.
You got to watch Stephen Colbert's show to get the humor. All right. I mean, how funny can it be, though? I mean, he's going to say, I'm running for president. Here is my platform. It's a bunch of shtick, and it's really funny, and that's great. But now they got a whole segment on MSNBC about the guy running for president. I'm just asking, and I don't think it's a stupid question. Is this guy really running for president? I mean, at what point do I, you know, at what point can I expect the laughs to stop, or at least the attempts at humor to stop, and the real stuff to begin? Or is everything just, you know, at any minute, a comedy show can break out? You know,
I don't know, man. If you're watching like the nightly news of Brian, whatever that guy's name is.
Williams.
That his name?
Yes.
Yeah, you watch the nightly news of Brian Williams, and all of a sudden he says, okay, I'm only kidding. I think that's funny.
You think that's funny?
Yeah, I mean, you do it.
I do it because that's what we do in this show. What do you mean I do it? I'm not Brian Williams. I'm not delivering news. This show is essentially a humor show, or should we try to be? Now, you're telling me that's funny, huh?
Yeah, well, we were thinking the other day, if Brian Williams come on the news on NBC, and he goes like, you know, I mean, you probably wouldn't think it's funny, but what if he said like, yeah, a bus blew up and a bunch of kids got burned up and the bus blew up. Oh, I'm only kidding. You know?
Yeah, that's really funny, man.
Well, I mean, what's wrong with that?
What are you talking about? So, in other words, you concur. So, you agree that any show at any time can go shtick if that's what's needed. Is that what you're telling me?
Well, yeah, if it's good.
And you think that's good. Brian Williams, this is NBC News. I'm Brian Williams. And a bus blew up and a bunch of kids died. Oh, I'm only kidding.
I mean, if you're saying that that's what they do.
No, I'm not saying that that's what they do. I'm saying that that seems to be where everything's going. Now, that is what I'm saying if, in fact, Stephen Colbert is running for president. But if he ain't running for president and it's just shtick, then it's shtick, and that's fine, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. But, man, this cat has got, he's got Ed Schultz on MSNBC running a whole freaking segment on it, treating it like it's serious news, unless Ed's so stupid, and he's stupid. But is he so stupid that he believes that...
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right, so he doesn't believe that Colbert's running for president. He's just decided that he's going to add to all the shtick. Oh, great. Here comes Penn Jillette's big, fat, freaking ugly face on my screen. When does this stuff end, man?
Yeah, you know what, man? You got him pissed off at you when you made a comment on Twitter, and he's all, like, saying stuff to you.
Yeah, that's too bad, you know? It's tough. I mean, I think Penn Jillette, or whatever the hell his name is, he's funny when he's a magician. And just like he probably doesn't like me doing politics, I don't like him doing politics. How about that? All right, let's move on, all right? Nobody cares. Google ups the ante on being social. In joining Google Plus to general search results in personalized search features, Google makes it indispensable to have an active G Plus profile, a potential antitrust violation. Now, Google Plus, I am a member of, and I have a profile there, but I don't use it at all. And one of the reasons is because I'm old and confused, and I don't like new things.
Okay.
No, really, frankly, yes, that is the reason. But I don't think it's because I'm old and confused. I think it's I could be 26 and I don't use it. I think a lot of people do use it. I think a lot of people don't use it. It's a pain in the ass. I'm just getting used to Twitter. I like Twitter. I'm comfortable with Twitter. Twitter's my thing. Twitter is my refuge. Twitter is my home away from home. Twitter is my solace. It's my comfort. It's my
nipple.
It's my nipple. What do you mean, my nipple? There are plenty of things to be concerned about when it comes to the new personalized search features from Google, including the risk that the search giant is waving a red flag in front of antitrust regulators by throwing its weight around. For media companies, one of the key facts, I like that, that's a little bit of editorializing. We don't even know if the antitrust regulators are aware of what Google's doing, but just in case they aren't, there's Bloomberg and Business Week saying, hey, antitrust regulators. For media companies, one of the key facts about this change is that it makes a social media strategy even more imperative. In some ways, as Jeff Sonderman of the Pointer Institute points out in a blog post, Google has just made social connection and links the new search engine optimization strategy, whether you like it or not. If you ignore this message, be prepared to see your content suffer. How about if we just use Yahoo? Just to recap the news, Google launched what it's calling Search Plus Your World on Tuesday, a bid to personalize search results for users who are logged in. The feature can be turned off for those who don't want it, but it is enabled by default. Although Google seems to have ambitious plans for the feature by calling it Your World, the results that are highlighted in a search come for the most part from Google's own social network, Google Plus. That they can include links that have gotten a plus one from people in your network, photos that have been uploaded, or in some cases, comments and profile pages. That's not all. As Danny Sullivan of Search Engine Land notes in a breakdown of the new features, even when users aren't logged into a Google profile, the search results they get will include profiles from prominent Google Plus users, companies, and celebrities in the spot normally reserved for Google ads, or what TechCrunch blogger and venture capitalist M.G. Ziegler has taken to calling the Google Juice Box. All right. Well, folks, let me just give you the bottom line on all this horse dung, okay?
Break it down, man.
I'm going to break it down. When you use the internet and you want the facts, I'm assuming we all want the facts. If you go and you look up something, you would like it to be a truthful, honest result, wouldn't you? Of course you would. When you use the internet looking for the facts, understand that the facts can be found, but you're going to have to use your noodle, man. You got to use your brain. What am I looking at here? What is this? What is this search engine I'm using? What are these results that I'm looking at? Are they ads? Are they actually, you ever use a search engine and you get about 16 commercials?
Yeah, I noticed that you're looking like for a name.
Right. What do you get when you're looking for any name? It may not be a famous name. The first thing you get sometimes, like 9-10 different, we know where Joe Blow is, you know, use our people finder, yellow pages, this, that, a whole bunch of ads. And just so you know, Google, if you're listening, I skip right past all that garbage, man. I don't use it. Many people can be fooled. I'll give you another example that happens if you travel. This is the same thing that happens when you travel. You get off the plane, you're getting off in the country, let's say you're in, Mexico. You walk out there to get a cab. And the first thing you have is a guy standing, how you doing, sir? Everything okay? Let me get you, I can take you to where you want to go. Where are you going today, sir? Let me help you find, well, I'm going. Now, a traveler who may not be completely on top of things, may not be thinking and using his noodle, first thing, well, I'm going to this village here. Oh, yeah, I know where that is, sir. Okay, I can take you over there right now, sir. Now, what he doesn't know is this guy's some kind of a wildcat, or otherwise he operates a tour, or he's going to pitch him, or he's going to do something. And next thing you know, you're off. You've been swept off your feet by some jive ass that's going to charge you double what you should be paying to get to your hotel, which is in Cancun. You don't want to go anywhere else. This jackass is going to start talking to you for 3 hours, and unless you are rude to the son of a bitch, and that's what you got to be, rude, you have no choice. You have no choice. No, I don't want it. Boom. That's what's going to happen. Well, this, what they're talking about here is the same thing. You've all had that experience. If you've traveled, you know what I'm talking about, right? Even when you get off the plane in New York now, you get off the plane at Kennedy, at Kennedy Airport. I'm in baggage. There's some jackass there. Where are you going today, sir? I said, what the hell are you doing here? I didn't say that to him, but I'm thinking, who the hell are you? I ignore the guy. In other words, what the hell are you doing? Some jackass there, he's a wildcat cab or something. I don't want to talk to that slob in baggage claim. I don't want to talk to any of those guys till I hit the street, I go to the cab stand, and I know what I'm dealing with. Well, the same thing here with these search engines. These search engines, what Google is doing and what some of them are doing is the sort of the internet search engine version of those guys that are hassling you and pulling your coat and bugging you as you get off the plane in, East Kosovo or wherever the hell it is you're going. You're looking for your car. You're looking for a way to your hotel. And the next thing you know, you got 58,000 guys that are going to tell you all about the hotels. And look at this. And I'm going to sell you a package deal. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. These guys are specialists in bullcrapping you to the point where they got your last dollar. I used to walk down the street when we were, I don't know where, we were in Mexico. And all I wanted to do was to walk to get food. And there was a little cafe that I liked. And every damn day that I walked down that street, here's this guy selling timeshares. And I made the brutal mistake of giving that guy 5 minutes of my time one day because every day after that, hey, sir, how you doing? Hey, listen, sir. And he didn't shut up. It didn't matter if I kept on walking. It didn't matter if I said no, thank you. You know what I'm talking about. You turn around, you got to talk to that guy. He's going to tell you something, and the next thing you know, you're stuck. So that's what's happening on the internet now. Same thing. The same approach, the same philosophy.
But just call it the Mexican beach version.
Yeah, the internet.
Right, it's the Mexican beach version of the internet. You're laying on a beach in Mexico, and here comes Charlie for the 9 millionth time. Seafood cocktail! Seafood cocktail! You know, these guys are selling all that stuff.
Yeah, and one guy's seafood cocktail, and another one is like shrimp.
Man, they got shrimp, and they got margarita.
Yeah, margaritas.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind a margarita. Maybe I wouldn't mind a seafood cocktail. I ain't going to buy it off that guy, man, because I personally don't want the runs for the next 3 days.
I do.
Yeah, I'll bet you do. No thanks, man. I don't want your seafood cocktail. Come on, man. Guaranteed. The squirts for a week. Not a chance. Although I do dig Mexico because if you do have anything wrong with you, you can walk into a pharmacy down there and buy anything you need, man. I'm not talking, you know, recreational drugs, but I mean antibiotics, anything you want, man. You tell the pharmacist, yes, sir, here we got it. Bang! All right, we'll be right back, our final segment, and I will finally tell you about Heather Locklear and the poor, poor, poor young lady, Heather Locklear, and the young lady, Holloway. When we come back, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Yes, the squirt.
Okay, bud.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and this is our news and information hour. Heather Locklear has been a spokeswoman for Los Robles Hospital in Thousand Oaks, confirms that to KNBC's Bev White that Heather Locklear was admitted and will stay overnight. She was conscious, stable, and resting comfortably. What the hell happened, man? She was in Los Angeles attending a Lakers game on Tuesday. She was taken to the hospital Thursday afternoon after a 911 call was placed from her home earlier in the day. Emergency response personnel responded to a medical emergency call at Ms. Locklear's residence. Ventura County Sheriff's Captain Mike Aranda told People magazine. Once they arrived, it was determined that Ms. Locklear needed to be transported to the hospital for further medical attention. Aranda told NBC News that when deputies arrived, paramedics were already administering aid to the actress. A spokesperson for the Sheriff's Department told Us Weekly that she'd been transported to Los Robles Hospital. According to TMZ, it was the actress' sister who made the call shortly after 2 p.m. on Thursday afternoon. The website also reports that law enforcement sources said Locklear, age 50, had mixed alcohol with prescription drugs. A source told Radar Online that the Melrose Place star was distraught over her relationship with Jack Wagner. It's on again and off again. It upset her lately. Locklear and her Melrose co-star Wagner ended their engagement in November, saying it was the best thing for their children. Wow.
What's that about?
I don't know what it's about, but that's a very, very sad. It's always sad to, I don't know. That's where that's at. So Heather Locklear in the hospital, and I hope she's okay. And that ain't the first time she's had that problem. And stop with that mixing the booze and the pills. And what the hell, man? I mean, you know, if that girl is doing that, she's a suicide risk, you know?
You think so?
Yes, I think so. Yes, I think so. I don't think that's the first time she's done that. It may be the second time. And I think at some point, and I shouldn't, you know, it's not my place to judge. At some point, you got to put her inside, whether she likes it or not.
You mean you got to commit her to a nut house?
No, I didn't say that, bud. Commit her to a nut house. I said you got to put her in involuntary observation, you know.
What's that, man? I like looking at her through a window?
Looking at her through a window?
What do you mean involuntary observation? Like, you're going to tie her down and you'd stare at her.
No, that's not what that is. It means, I'm sorry, but we can't, you know, we have to do this. Well, I don't want to go in. Well, you're going to have to, because we're afraid you may be a danger to yourself. And we want to find out what the hell's going on. And that's where that's at. Now, she's inside right now, and there's nothing wrong with keeping her for the 72 hours to find out what the hell is going on with her. You know, because you don't want to, I'm going to tell you something right now, man. You want to read the news in about, let's say, 6 months from now, you read the news, Heather Locklear dead, suicide. And everybody go, Jesus, you know, why didn't somebody do something? She was doing this 6 months ago. She was doing this a year ago. She was mixing these pills and this booze.
I don't know, man. You don't want to get too out of whack about it.
You're not getting too out of whack about anything, man. I'm just telling you, how many times are you going to read about this? Judge declares missing teen Natalie Holloway dead. An Alabama judge signed an order Thursday declaring Natalie Holloway dead more than 6 years after the American teenager vanished in the Caribbean island of Aruba. Judge Alan King signed the order at the end of a hearing in a Birmingham courtroom that was attended by the missing woman's divorced parents, David and Beth Holloway. David Holloway told the judge in September he believed his daughter had died and he wanted to stop payments on her medical insurance and use her $2,000 college fund to help her younger brother. Thursday's hearing was scheduled before a suspect questioned in Holloway's disappearance. Dutchman Joran Vandersloot pled guilty on Wednesday in Peru to the 2010 murder of a woman in Lima. Well, I think that this piece of garbage, this Vanderslut, he's inside for good, and they probably captured the guy that did it, you know?
Yeah, well, they had to kill somebody more, man, to find the guy.
Well, that's the thing, man. This guy was walking around free as a freaking bird. He goes down to Peru, he kills a woman, and now, oh, gee, I guess maybe, you know. All right, that's that news. More to come tomorrow night. If you're watching us on Phil TV, stick around. We'll have a Q&A, about a half an hour Q&A, maybe more, on Phil TV in HD right after this special break or whatever the hell it is. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, we're online at philhenryshow.com. And, of course, pick up a backstage pass. It's worth it. You'll like it. You'll enjoy it. See you tonight.
Bye, everybody.
Phil Henry.